Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it good to know you have brothers and sisters in the Lord? You know, God is not dead because He lives through you. Amen? Now, He's not dead anyway. We know that. But He lives through us. And He works through us. And that's why we come forward and give our lives to the Lord. So He can use us to continue saving people. You know, His kingdom isn't full yet. You know that, right? And so there are others out there. There are more sheep out there that need to be brought in. Amen? So that's why we do this, for His glory, for His kingdom. And we love the Lord for that reason. You can turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 5. We're just going to stop there for a minute and then move on. We do a lot of the things we do for what purpose? To save people, right? The Lord uses us to get people saved. And a lot of times, even though some of them won't say it, you can almost see them thinking it when you say you need to get saved. Get saved from what? What do I need to get saved from, right? They can almost read it from them. And so what do they need to get saved from? They need to get saved from what? Sin. That's what we would commonly reply. You need to get saved from sin. Well, then you have to explain to them what is sin, you know, because a lot of people, they don't go to church anymore. So you got to explain that to them. What is sin? What is it?
Disobedience.
It's disobedience to God, right? It's what God calls enmity. The scripture calls it enmity. Rejection, arguing with, rejecting God. That happened in Adam when he was disobedient. He rejected God's ways. Well, guess what? We're all children of Adam and Eve. Yes. And so we have inherited that sin nature from them. And we have it. We don't have to do anything to get it but be born. And we have it. Now, you don't notice it for a number of years unless your parents are kind of observant and they see the tantrums that you were throwing as a child, as an infant. You can recognize that, right? But children don't do it knowingly. They do it because of that old nature that's in them, that sin nature. We're naturally at enmity with God. So God knew that was going to happen. He's not surprised about anything, is He? He knows everything about everything. And He knows what the future is going to hold. He knows what it holds for you. You're just going through this life and you're waiting to meet that intersection with God to where your future is going to be revealed to you. And then you're going to make a decision on what to do. Everybody does that. Everybody has to make a decision about what they're going to do with God. You did. You decided you were going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be obedient. And that's what you're doing. But we know there are a number of people out there that aren't doing that. So what are we going to do about that? We have to go and tell them about the love of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Somehow they got to get the message out there, and we are the somehow. Amen? So knowing that, let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us. And Lord, we do come to You. We know that You are the Creator of all things. You created all this. And through the Godhead, You created this plan of redemption because You knew that we were going to be sinners. We were going to end up being born sinners. And we were going to need a way of redemption. And You came up with the plan for that way of redemption. You would become flesh and come into the world and sacrifice Yourself. Give Your body and sacrifice Your blood. Shed it so that we could be washed clean through believing in You, having faith in You and trusting in that work so that by faith we can be saved. Not by things we do. We are not near good enough. We are sinners. But Lord, You are not. You are perfectly sinless and You are perfect love for us and to us, and You gave Yourself in love for us to redeem us back from the sin that we were born with. We thank you, we praise you. And Lord, we teach this and teach you and follow you through the Holy Spirit to experience a relationship with you, that we can not only be saved and have the security of knowing we're heading to be with you in glory, but also that we can serve you and share your love that you brought with others. Go and give them the message of your love. So be with us, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us to learn the things we need to know to share you through the study of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 7:5 says this, "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members," that's our body, "in our members to bear fruit to death." About 40 years ago, I was a youth pastor at Sunset Point Baptist Church down in Clearwater. That was my first calling. We took our youth, the whole youth group, all about 12 of us, up to North Carolina North Georgia, to a summer camp at Toccoa Falls Christian College. Do you know the story of Toccoa Falls Christian College? It was completely wiped out by a dam break upriver. And through that, though, God used that event to save the college. It was going broke. They were going to have to close the doors. But because of that event, people from all over the world sent in donations, and they rebuilt the school, and it's still there today. So you see, God uses those things that are negatives to us as positives. And if we'll trust Him, He'll rebuild it, right? At any rate, we went up there, and at that campus, there's a high waterfall that comes down from the Toccoa River and falls into a lake there on campus. And so when we got there that first day, they got all the kids, not just our kids, but there were about 8 different churches there being represented. We all went into the gymnasium, and they laid down the rules for the week, right? What was rule number 1? No one goes up to the top of the falls. Strictly off limits. You cannot go. All right? Well, I had several red-blooded American boys in my youth group that just loved a challenge. And they had just received the greatest challenge of their life up to that point. And I could just feel them thinking, we have got to go. We have got to be the first. We can't just go. We got to be first. And so later that day, when I heard there were some kids up at the top of the falls, I pretty much knew who that would be, right? They loved the challenge and they answered it. They heard the law and they broke the law and they challenged the authority of the law and they went up there and did what they were going to do. They went up to throw rocks over the edge and go into the lake. That's what they wanted to do. Now listen, that's how the law affects all of us. It challenges us. It challenges our spirit. What? You're going to confine me? No, I can do it. I can do it. I don't want to be confined. Our disobedient spirit uses our flesh. Yes, it uses our flesh so it can go and sin. Sin doesn't originate in your flesh, although it's a sinful tool. It originates in your heart and your mind. And the law arouses that. And it draws you into that. Now listen, that's how legalism works. I don't care what law it is, who gives it, or where it is. When the law is laid down are in us, we want to challenge it. Even the best of us want to challenge it. And then it uses our flesh to give in to sin. And we sin, amen? All right, now go over to Romans chapter 8. At verse 7, Romans 8:7, we're going to talk about today our relationship with the Lord and how we can live in that relationship and how it's going to work for us. Amen? Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 7, says this, "The mind of flesh is enmity. It's against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." That's why Scripture says, I'm out of Scripture now, that's why Scripture says we must be born again. It's essential to our walk with the Lord. You can't walk with the Lord if you're not born again. If you don't have His Spirit in you, you can't do it. And so it tells you the truth right up front. You must be born again. You must be redeemed. You must be saved to have the Holy Spirit come and live inside you. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't do anything to please God. He lives in us. He helps us follow the mind of Christ. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And then when we become aware of that plan, we try to follow it. Most people become aware of that before they're saved. And they try to follow it, they try to follow God, but they fail because they don't have the power in their flesh to do it. You're doomed to fail already before you really even start. You must be born again. And that's the truth of the matter, amen? So, the Holy Spirit comes, He lives in us, He helps us follow the mind of Christ. We must follow His mind, not ours, because it's sinful flesh. Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Philippians 2, 5 and 8 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death." The death of the cross. To have the mind of Christ and humble yourself to the Holy Spirit, you must consider your will, your wants, your desires, your former self, which we call the old man, the old person. You must consider that to be dead. Now, if something was dead, would you go and hang out with it? Would you take it to parties and have a good time? Would you drive it around to places and go on vacation with it? You and your dead body? So see, you have to come away from that dead body. Sounds kind of morbid, doesn't it? But many Christians start their Christian life that way. They trust God for salvation, but they don't want to give up their ways. It's a process. You can't, it's just not like the snap of a finger, you got saved and hey, you're perfect now. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to walk with the Spirit and start getting into the Word of God and learning His ways. And here's the hardest part. You can learn His ways, but can you walk in them? Can you follow Him? Can you imitate the ways of Christ? You see, that's where the rubber hits the road. We can think about it all day long, but until we actually commit our life to following Christ and His ways, we're not really doing the job. You're not lost. I'm not saying that. But you're not fully appreciating the Christian life that the Lord has given you. Amen? You must die to yourself, not literally dead, but in your mind, in your heart, in your relationship to this lost world. You must stop following their ways and follow the ways of the Lord. That's what we're called to do. You aren't letting your old mind and flesh control you. It takes time to get over that. Some people do it more quickly than others. Why is that? Is it because they have more of the Holy Spirit? No. Everybody gets the same amount. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in parts and pieces. He's a person When He comes, all of Him comes at the same time. And He indwells you. So where's the problem?
Right
here. It's us, as Pogo said. How many remember Pogo? Comic strip character. Pogo said, we have met the enemy, and it's us. Right? So the Holy Spirit is 100% in you, but are you 100% following Him? Have you given 100%? There's the problem, amen? Well, you don't automatically give 100%. You have to start getting into the Scripture, fellowshipping with other believers, learning about the Word. And little by little, you start taking on the ways of Christ. And you finally get to the point where you can follow the Holy Spirit and you can say no to the flesh. Now, that takes a while to get to that. And I don't want to disappoint you, but it's a lifetime, folks. There are some things today that you would still give in to. I can prove it, right? I know there's things you give in to. And you know it's bad for you. But you still give in to it, don't you? You ever ask the Lord to help you with that? Okay, and then do you follow His guidance? You see, there it is. Heather said it sometimes. Yeah. Right. I'm old, but I'm not deaf. Listen, when you call on the name of the Lord to be saved, to be born again, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right then.
Hallelujah.
It's not something that happens later that you got to pray and pray and pray about. No, when you call on Jesus, He saves you and gives you the Holy Spirit right then. And He doesn't give you just part of Him. He gives you all of the Holy Spirit. You have Him, lock, stock, and barrel. And that's when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He comes into your life, takes control of the whole thing. And you are in Him. Well, what about the baptism of water? That is your testimony to everybody else that you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody that watches you go under, they're seeing that you are dying to yourself and giving yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to start living that way as best you can as you learn little by little to keep giving more and more and more of yourself to the Lord. Eventually, you'll get to a point where you're feeling pretty good. And then something will happen and let you know that you aren't quite there yet, but keep going. Right? The Lord isn't giving up on you. He never does. So, we are ready right then to walk in the Spirit. Well, why don't we? Why don't we walk in the Spirit from the time we get saved? Because we're still in this flesh. And this flesh doesn't care about all of that. This flesh only cares about what it wants. And it pushes you to go that way. Therein lies the problem, right? There's the fight. So you get saved. You begin to walk in the Spirit, imitating Christ. But what important thing has happened? You were at enmity with God. You didn't want His ways. You didn't want to follow Jesus. You didn't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. You wanted to still do what you wanted to do because your flesh was saying, hey, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And you didn't have the power yet to give it, to not give in to it. You still had enmity with God. But as you give yourself more to the Holy Spirit, you get more powerful. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in you. Did you know that? Well, I just want to remind you of that. He is the dynamo of God in you. And you need to recognize that and call on Him to help you when the challenge comes to get the victory. You know, we sing that song, Victory in Jesus. Well, that's what we're talking about. Victory in Jesus isn't just getting saved. It's walking the walk after that. It's living for the Lord after that. It's being an example and a testimony and a witness after that. That's what you want to show them, that you are walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So now that you've been saved, you're no longer at enmity with God. He has forgiven you everything. No holds barred. And you are now ready to walk with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Now we're going to jump down to verse 9. We are ready to begin imitating Jesus, functioning in this world with His mind, because our mind is now dead. Reckon your mind to be dead. That's what the Holy Spirit says to the Apostle Paul. Reckon yourself to be dead. Not dead to the Spirit, but dead to the world. And start following the Lord. After redemption, God deals with believers in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's in you, guiding you, drawing you to a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Your part is humbling yourself, dying to yourself, and following the Holy Spirit. That's what you should be doing. Says this in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. He does not belong to Christ. Right? Now I would like it better if this verse said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Because if you sincerely cry out to the Lord, you will be saved. That's what God's Word tells us. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. There's no ifs in there. It's because you called out that you are saved. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes in. What does this mean? It means you are not in the flesh. You are not letting the flesh guide you anymore. You're following the Holy Spirit. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. You are humbling yourself to the Holy Spirit. You still have those desires. You still have to deal with it. But you are allowing the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to say, no, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to be a good example for Him. Will there be a fight? There will be a fight. Yes. But you have the Holy Spirit. God in you. God in you. You have Him with you to fight that fight. Verse 10 and 11 explain God's view of what has happened to a person who calls on the name of Jesus to be saved. When we read these verses, we're going to read them, I'm going to say, from God's point of view, as if we have accepted Christ and we are saved. Because that's the fact. He sees us that way. You've called on my Son Jesus Christ for salvation, and indeed He has done the job. You are redeemed. Sounds like this, verse 10 and 11. And after Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But after the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This is your mortal body. You're sitting in it right now, okay? So when is He going to give life to that mortal body? It's still full of sin. You're still battling with it. When you Leave this world and go to glory. You will not go without a body. You will have a glorified body. That's the way I understand it when I read the scripture. We won't be just spirits up there going around. No, we'll be recognizable. We will have a body. And you will know me if you see me up there, because I'm trusting the Lord. I'm saying I'm going to be there by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in me. If you have that too, we'll run into each other up there and we'll know who we are. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let there be no doubt in that. So these verses are talking about our relationship to God. It's like an if-then proposition. You heard about that in school? If this happens, then this is going to happen. It's like a law, all right? Except we've twisted that around and it's not a law anymore. But God, with Him, it is. With God, it's an if-then proposition. Salvation plan for us. If the person doesn't answer yes to the Spirit calling, then what happens? They don't respond to the call of the Spirit. If that happens, what happens? They don't get saved. If you don't call on the name of the Lord, you're not getting saved, period, end of story, for that moment. Because the good news is you've got the rest of your life. However long that is. How long is that going to be, Dave? How long is the rest of your life? This life, in this body. If you don't trust Jesus, you said no to Jesus. You didn't get saved. When is your life going to end? Nobody knows. You don't know how long you're going to live. You're hoping you're going to live until lunchtime because you'd like to have lunch today, right? But there's no guarantee of that. No. If you don't accept Jesus when the Holy Spirit calls you, you're still dead in the flesh. Now, you hopefully have more opportunities as you live on, but we don't know how long that's going to take. That's why the Scripture says today is the day of salvation.
Amen to that.
Today you need to call on the name of the Lord. Today you need to get ready for eternity, because eternity is coming. You know, we get this idea in our heads as believers that, oh, we're eternally alive now. We're going to be alive forever. But what about those unbelievers? They're going to be dead. What does dead mean? It doesn't mean that's it, it's over, never mind, forget it. Doesn't mean that. It means you are separated. Death is separation. When our loved ones die, they are separated from us. But they're not dead. They're not over with. That's not the end of the story. If they are believers, they're going to glory, aren't they? You'll see them again. If they're not, you won't see them again. They'll be somewhere where you won't want to go. And Jesus won't send you there. I'm getting off track here, though. Let me get back. Let's get back to the person that's positive and saying, yes, the one that's been called by the Holy Spirit and answering in a positive way. If that person answers yes, then whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise the Lord. You see any ifs in that statement? No. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. You'll be born again. Romans 10:13 says, if we call, then God will save. God even gives us a bonus. Did you know that? You get a bonus when you say yes to Jesus. You know what the bonus is? The Holy Spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit. God in us. That's who the Holy Spirit is. God gives us that bonus. We get the indwelling Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And He empowers our life here. Because when we get saved, we don't die. We're not taken immediately to glory to be with the Lord. No, we have a life to live here. Why is that?
Because
Why don't we go right there? What's the job? We're now giving the testimony that Jesus saves. And you can trust in Him and you can count on that. Amen? So, the Holy Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies here in the sense that He empowers us to be a witness to the Lord and His goodness. And then later He will change our mortal bodies to eternal bodies. And we'll be alive forever in a glorious place where there's no decay. We don't get older. We just stay the same. Right? Some people speculate that we'll all be 33 years old. Because that's what Jesus was when He went. Right? And we're going to be like Him, so we'll be 33 years old. I don't know. I'm just saying. All right, so He is in us. And He changes our mortal bodies to eternal bodies, and we go to glory. And our bodies will take on immortality. We will be living forever then. All right? Praise God, right? I've been saved, I've been newborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh yes, I've been saved. Okay, so there it is. He's in there, He's not leaving. You can't make Him leave. You can grieve Him, but you can't make Him leave. And you have your life to live for the Lord. Amen? You've been saved. And guess what? There's no enmity between you and the Lord now. There's no enmity between you and the Father or the Holy Spirit. Be careful. You can still put it there. You can still grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't lose your salvation. I'm not saying that. But you lose your relationship. You separate yourself. You know that's called, right? That's called death. You killed the relationship between you and the Holy Spirit. But He doesn't leave. What does He do? He comes back over and He puts His arm around you and He says, listen, you know you need to repair our relationship. You need to repent. You need to turn away from that sin. And you need to tell me you're sorry and that you want to get back with me and start walking with me again. And if you'll do that, I'll forgive you, and we can keep right on walking together. Yeah. Right on up to glory, right? Yeah. You see, He doesn't throw you out just because you flub up every now and then. That's what Peter did. Just be careful, yes. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We don't owe this old flesh anything. It's always dragging us down and getting us into trouble. We don't owe it anything. We don't owe it anything. We don't have to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Does that mean the end? I just told you it doesn't. It doesn't mean the end. It just means you're separated. You're separated and you want to repair that separation. You will die. But if in the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You'll have that relationship. You'll walk in the Spirit. You'll be bringing glory to God. And you'll be happy and peaceful inside. That's a byproduct, right? You want peace? You want love? Then you want Jesus. You want to be walking in the Spirit. That's how you get that. And it says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Children of God would be a better interpretation, wouldn't it? Make you ladies feel better, right? We become the children of God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, accept His work for us on the cross. That's when we become children of God. Not before. We are not debtors to the flesh. And it has no authority to command us to follow it. And it can't make us follow it. So when the flesh rises up and says, hey, I think we ought to do this, and your inner person says, no, I don't think the Lord would be happy with that. I wouldn't be pleasing with Him. And the flesh says, oh, don't worry about that. Come on, let's go. No, you just keep saying, nope, sorry, not pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to go this other way. So if we choose to follow the flesh, it's our personal choice. We make that choice and we leave our relationship. So if you follow the flesh, you're committing yourself to what? The law of sin and death, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Yes, when you sin, your relationship dies. Can you repair it? Yes. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. So you call on Jesus again. And then what does think 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He loves you. He doesn't want to see you go out the door and slam it. He wants you to come back and be part of His kingdom and let Him love you. Amen? So, back to enmity with God. By experience, we know that we cannot keep God's laws while we're living here in the flesh. You've experienced that? You want to live for the Lord, but something happens and you do the opposite? Yes, we have that problem because we're in the flesh. So we should choose, make the conscious choice to obey and follow the Holy Spirit. Have you? Have you done it? Or are you waiting for a crisis? A problem? Don't wait. Don't wait. Make the commitment now. I'm going to follow the Lord by following the Holy Spirit. I'm going to humble myself to Him. He's going to give me the power to live the life that I should be living to please the Lord. And together we'll tackle the issues of life that I have so much trouble with. We should choose to obey the Holy Spirit, to live spiritually and eternally with no enmity between us and God. And we need to make that choice now. Yeah. Don't wait for the storm clouds to come in. Don't wait. Commit yourself now. You'll be glad you did. That's our calling. Our calling is to be humbled, to be led by the Holy Spirit, by His indwelling presence, to empower us to put to death the deeds of this old flesh and to start living for Him. So when the world crashes in on us, we're already there with the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with it. We must have it. It is essential. That word we learned a couple of years ago, right? It's essential. The sanctified believer, set apart from the world. That's what sanctified is. You're set apart from the world. You're following the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. The sanctified believer recognizes and follows the leading of the Spirit's illumination and sanctification. How do they recognize it and follow it? Right here. You must be in the Word of God. It is also essential to your spiritual life with the Holy Spirit. How are you going to recognize His promptings if you're not recognizing God's Word? Who are you going to trust? Some mystical voice that floats through your brain while you're waking up in the morning? No, you better be trusting the Word of God. And when that mystical voice floats through, you have something to judge it by. Does it compare with what I'm reading in God's Word? Does it lead me to do those things that would be pleasing to God and not my flesh? You see, we have a gauge to judge those things by. right? And when you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He will help your mind function on that level. So you'll recognize the truth. God doesn't want you out there fooling around with the flesh and living a lie. He wants you to live the truth. That He loves you, gave Himself for you, and you are now in His life. Amen?
Amen.
Are you led by the Spirit? Are you studying the Scriptures to illuminate and sanctify your walk in Christ? I encourage you to get in big time the Word of God. Big time. You know, when you're working for the Lord, whether you're a Bible teacher in Sunday school or a pastor doing something like that or a missionary, you are forced to get into this Word. Because you know if you don't get into it, you're going to be in big trouble. And you're not going to be able to hold up to the rigors of the ministry you've been called to. You need to understand you've been called to a ministry. And that ministry requires you to be in this Word. Do it. Just make the commitment right now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be in this Word. I'm going to get myself a commentary. Curtis and I were talking about it before church. Get a commentary. Now get one from somebody you can trust, like Dr. John MacArthur. You know, that's one I use. I use a couple of other different ones too. Get a good commentary. So when you're reading the Scripture, that question pops into your mind. Well, I wonder how that works. Or I wonder what that means. What is this verse really saying to me? Well, you go to that commentary that's by a conservative, fundamental, Bible-believing pastor, and you read what he says about it. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't agree with everything they all say. Some of them say things, and I just say, I don't think so. And I go somewhere else and compare my thoughts there. I'm not a maverick. I don't want to be out there doing my own thing. I want to know I'm on the right track. But it takes that. You can't just say, oh, I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me. I'm going to read this Scripture. I'm going to know exactly what it means, just like that. Doesn't work that way. You need to put in the time and the study. Amen? Okay, I'll move on. You have to put in the time to illuminate and sanctify your walk in the Spirit. Your walk in Christ. You see, it's our spirit. Our spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit. Well, how does that happen? You humble your spirit to the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know? Well, you start getting into Scripture. And you start living by the Scripture. He wrote the book. The Holy Spirit wrote the book. Oh yes, those men of renown, those Old Testament saints and those New Testament saints that lived long ago, they were used by the Holy Spirit. They were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They wrote down what the Holy Spirit wanted to write. But it didn't come from their mind. Didn't come from their heart. From their mind and heart came obedience, and they did the job. But the truth of the Word comes from the Holy Spirit. That's who you're really following. And so you're going to submit to the Holy Spirit's guidance. And when you do that, you'll glorify God. You won't even have to think about it. It'll happen. You might think back on it later and say, wow, that was really good. I felt so good while that was happening. That's because you were glorifying God, walking in the Spirit. Verse 15 and following. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. What does that mean? It means God didn't give you His Holy Spirit to make you afraid of Him so you would do what He wants you to do because you do it out of fear. That's not Him. In case you hadn't read it in the Scripture, God is love. God is love. And what does perfect love do? cast out fear. It gets rid of it. So you're not doing it from fear. You're not in that bondage of a spirit of fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. When we receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we are children of God. Don't let anybody tell you different. But now you know how. How did you become a child of God? Well, I trust Jesus in His work on the cross and I believe in Him. And when you do, the Holy Spirit is given to you and you have both. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and, get this, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are getting the same things He's getting. We're getting glory. The only thing we're not getting is the throne. We don't belong on the throne. But He does. So praise God, He's there. Indeed, if, because, indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified. We're suffering in this body. We suffer in other ways too, don't we? We suffer when we go out and witness and give testimony. We suffer when we try to live for the Lord and the enemy is against us. Yes, we suffer those ways, but the main thing is we suffer in this body. It gets old, it gets worn out, it gives us difficulty. That's why we have to have doctors taking care of the flesh. But God's Spirit is the Spirit of love, and perfect love casts out fear. We received the Spirit of love when we received the Holy Spirit. We're living in love, right? The love of God. That's the love we live in. The Holy Spirit shows God's perfect love by the way He calls us, guides us, and leads us into adoption in God's family. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants. That's why He sends His Spirit to witness to you and draw you into God's family. The Holy Spirit confirms our adoption by His testimony, which you are receiving right now, and you don't even know it. You're hearing God's Word that says you are part of the family through hearing God's Word and responding to it, which the Holy Spirit gives you. God's Word is doing that. How do you know you're God's child? First, you know by the testimony of God's Word. He's telling you that you are a child of God. That's His testimony, not yours. That's God telling you. Amen? 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." He does that, not us. You are also known by the fruit you're producing. That's another way to tell. Are you producing any fruit? Well, Jim's not here, so I can say this. I don't want to give him a big head. Take away his blessing. He's showing fruit. He's witnessing the people that are getting saved. And he didn't mention it, but there was a recommitment by someone. And they live a bit far away. And I thought, well, they were going to come to church here. And I thought, well, we need to give them the name of a church nearby so they can fulfill what they want to do. And we will, because I feared that would happen, that they would not be making it. So we'll take care of that. But the Lord loves us. He will give us those things we need, right? So we know we're a child of God by those things, by the fruit we bear. If you're not bearing any fruit, you better take a check. Take a check on where you're at with the Lord. Am I really committed to Him? Did I really ask Him to save me? Am I really a child of God? Now, I don't want to put doubt in your mind. But I'm just saying, if you're not bearing fruit, you might want to start walking in the Spirit. Because if you're doing that, you're going to bear fruit because he will help you do it. Amen?
Amen.
You were given the power you have to serve Christ by the provision you receive while serving and suffering for Christ. If you're not suffering for Christ, you're just not doing enough. You want to suffer for Christ? The easiest way? Just go out there and speak His name. His name is the line in the sand. You can talk about God all day long and people won't give a hoot about it. But the minute you bring up the name of Jesus, that gets their attention. And then be ready to show the love. Because you're going to get all kinds of responses. A lady in Walmart one day, and I helped her out and told her, you know, Jesus loves you. You know what she said? Oh, don't bother me with that stuff. Yeah, I'm telling you, you don't know what kind of response you're going to get. You've drawn the line in the sand with the name of Jesus. Just be ready. Some will love you and thank you for telling, and some will not. Don't let that stop you. Keep going, because it's not their love and respect you're looking for, is it? It's a higher plane, isn't it? It's fellowshipping with the Lord. Well, there were three boys that went to the top of the waterfall that day at summer camp. They went up there in the flesh. That's what the flesh told them to do, and they followed through. They were all disciplined for their action. You know, there's always a consequence. And there's the same thing with the Lord. You're not following, there's a consequence. They were all disciplined for their action as adults. I want you to know, as adults, two out of the three chose to humble themselves and walk with the Lord. One became a minister of music. Yeah. The other one is pastoring in Alabama right now. He's probably preaching the word as we are. So, if you follow the Lord and trust Him, even if you get off the rails sometime, there's still hope. And He shows that. That's why I'm telling you this story. Through the Holy Spirit, they put away their childish ways and committed themselves to glorify the Lord. Will you today commit to humbling yourself to the Holy Spirit and glorify Christ? About 25 believers humbled themselves this week serving the Lord in various ways in the dental bus ministry. They gave up their time, they used their talents, they came and they served. And as a result of that, two people received Christ. One person recommitted. Many others are thinking about it. Because I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit starts in, He doesn't give up. He'll be working on those people until they pass out of this world, and hopefully they will make a positive choice and they'll be going to glory. That's what we would pray for them and what the Lord wants for them. Did the dental bus servants suffer? Slightly. We had to give up our normal routine and do some things differently. Not bad, but a little bit of suffering. But I want you to know it's a moment-by-moment choice. Am I going to serve the Lord and do what the Holy Spirit's calling me to do? Or am I going to brush it off and go my own way because I have something to do? It's your choice. And if you choose not to do it, you won't drop dead on the spot. You may have to answer for it one day, but you'll be there with the Lord. So I'm calling you today, the Lord is calling you today, to make a choice and make a commitment to follow the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you what that's going to look like. Only the Holy Spirit can show you what that's going to look like. But you won't know until you make the commitment that you're going to follow Him. And it is a commitment. So don't make it lightly. He's going to expect you to follow through. You make a commitment, you should follow through. Jesus did, didn't He? He made a commitment to the Father, and He followed through, all the way through. And the result was eternal life for all of us. So, Ryan, if you'd please come up. I guess you're over here today. Respond to the call. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's the first step. Just respond to the call. And then go on from there.